Where is it? Where is it? I must find it. Where did it go? There it is. There it is. Ah, the furry of Dracula. Now I can sleep. Oh, what's this? This looks like a job for Board Games with Scott.
Welcome to the Board Games with Scott podcast. This is just the audio from the Board Games with Scott videos. To see the full videos, head over to www.boardgameswithscott.com.
Hi there, and welcome to Board Games with Scott. This is a weekly video where I take a board game and explain it and briefly review it. My goal is to teach you board games and help you decide if you want to purchase these games. This week I'm going to be talking about The Fury of Dracula, which is a remake of an old Games Workshop game. It's a game that pits one player against all the other players. One player is playing Dracula, attempting to hide and escape and attack the hunters who are wandering around Europe trying to find him and stop his evil ways. The game takes 2 to 3 hours and is for 2 to 5 players. I wouldn't recommend it for kids. There's graphic themes in here, like little tokens that look like bleeding human hearts. But anyway, it's a deduction game. If you've ever heard of a game called Scotland Yard, a similar idea where one player is moving in secret most of the time, and the other players have ways to reveal his path, to see where he's been, to attempt to deduce where he is, to confront him when it's at a time that it's advantageous for them to do so. Like many games put out by Fantasy Flight recently, this is a lavish production, so why don't we just open up the box and see the bits that are inside? So here's what comes with the game. You get a nice large board of Europe, but it's very nicely done. It still has a nice old world feel, but is very playable. You can read all the locations on the map. It's got a nice feel to it, but it's usable. Good job on the map. You get 5 little dolls, a doll for I am not the doll, a doll for Dracula, and then 4 dolls for the hunters. You get a number of cardboard chits that you use for various things throughout the games, including the cardboard human heart. Some dice, most are standard dice, with 1 special die that you use when riding trains about. You get a number of cards, as you do with many of these games. You get cards that the Dracula player will use to indicate where it is on the board they've moved. There's basically 1 of these cards for every location on the board. And so the Dracula player will be putting these cards face down to indicate a track of where they've moved. You've got some handy-dandy reference cards, which has some of the useful information for the game. Other cards for the Dracula player to use to indicate when they've done certain special abilities. You've got tons and tons of these event cards. The event cards are fairly clever, actually, the way they do it. On the back of each event card is a cross or a bat. And the way it works is the bat cards are designed to be used by the vampire player, the Dracula player, and the cross cards are designed to be used by the good guys, the heroes. But the Dracula player can never draw these cards. It has to be the heroes who draw them. When the heroes draw a card, an event card, they pull it from the bottom of the deck and they look at what's on the back here. If it's a cross, they get to keep it. If it's a bat, then they have to hand it over to the Dracula player, and the Dracula player's power grows. So the event cards, while it's nice to draw more event cards because they can certainly help your team, it may be that by drawing event cards, you're handing over more and more power to the Dracula player, so you have to be careful about that. There are item cards for the players to pick up throughout the game, and so these will help them. Many of them are weapons to help them defeat the evil minions and the evil overlord. So those are the components. The rulebook, like a lot of the game, the Fantasy Flight games, is this large square size, which makes it a little unwieldy to deal with. But while lengthy, it's fairly well organized. There is a errata sheet. There are nice sheets for each of the players that they'll use to track, see their special abilities, track their life points, that kind of thing. And then there is a handy-dandy Dracula reference map. This is a small version of the board, and the Dracula player can look at this rather than looking at the board to plot out their moves, because if the Dracula player is looking at a spot on the board, that might give some information to the players as to where the Dracula player is looking. So this was a good idea. It's very handy to use. So that's all the components. Why don't we take a look and see how these things work together? So the point of the game is for the hunters to find Dracula and catch him and kill him. And to do that before he fills the land with too many vampires. The Dracula player has a track here, and he's going to use that track to count how many vampires he's brought into the world. That's going to happen several ways. When the players die, the track goes up. Every 6 turns, when this clock goes all the way around, the track goes up. And if Dracula can manage to hide away and sire a new vampire from the players for a number of turns, the track will go up. So that's Dracula's goal, is to get that track to move up as quickly as possible. The player's goal is to hunt down Dracula, hunt down the new vampires that he's put aside, and destroy them before that track gets to 6. When that track gets to 6, the game is over and the Dracula player wins. Now Dracula is going to be moving around the board secretly. Every one of these cities on the board and every one of these seas corresponds to a card that the Dracula player will have. And so the Dracula player has one card for each of the different seas and each of the different cities on the board. The way it will work is the Dracula player, when they start the game, will pick anywhere on the board they wish to start. And they'll pick that location and they'll put it face down here in the first spot, like so. Then, once the game gets going, the first spot will not get an encounter. But after that, once the game gets going, when he puts down his second location, he puts an encounter on it. Now, the encounter can be one of many things. It's something that Dracula is going to have a hand of these little counters. And the counters are mostly bad for the players. They're traps he's left behind and things like that. But what's really important for Dracula are these counters. These counters are your new vampires. And if you put one on one of your cards and then manages to get all the way to the end of the track and falls off the end of the track, it's said to mature. When the encounter matures, something happens in many cases. And when one of these matures, if the players don't get to it in 6 turns and it matures, the Dracula player gets to move up 2 on that track. So each turn, the Dracula player will move, will play one of these cards face down, and will put an encounter on it. And this track will just continue to slide over and build. Now, there'll be things in the game that cause parts of the track to be flipped up. There'll be things that cause encounters to be flipped up or encounters to go away. The seas are special in that they have a blue back. So players know when Dracula has gone to sea. The players also know when Dracula has gone back to Castle Dracula. He gets healed back 2 tokens, but the problem is the card's double-sided. So the players will know when that is in the track. So what will happen many times, there are cards that reveal one or more of these locations in the track, and they're flipped face up. Whenever the Dracula player manages to get one of those new vampires all the way to the end of the track and matured, the track is actually cleared off. It's kind of like the Dracula player is starting new. There's no trace of where they've been, but also all their encounters are removed. So during the Dracula player's turn, that's what they do. They look on the board, they pick where they're going to move, they move, they find the card from this deck, where they have all the cards in alphabetical order, and they put the card there. Now, one thing to note is if the card is here, it's not in here, which means that the Dracula player is not going to be able to return to a place that they've gone before. They have a special ability which will allow them to do that, but the players will know that they have doubled back on their trail because the special ability card goes face up, even though they won't know where they went. So these cards move each turn, and once they go off the end of the board, the Dracula player has a choice. They can mature the encounter, which means they flip the encounter up, and in some cases it doesn't do anything. Some cases it has an effect, just like those new brides. The other option the Dracula player has, if they don't wish to mature the encounter, is they can move the encounter over here into the catacombs. So let's say this card went all the way off the track, and the Dracula player can choose to put it over there with the encounter on it, and then gets to add another one. What that means is if the players go into that space, they have to deal with 2 things. And that's what Dracula's doing. He's leaving behind traps for the players. During the player's turn, they're all going to move. And if they happen to land on any of the spaces that are down on the board, face down in a location, the Dracula player must flip over the card and flip over the encounter, and the player will have an encounter at that spot. So part of what you're doing as a Dracula player is leaving behind nasty little traps for the good guys to stumble across. The traps can hurt them. It could be a combat they have to fight. There's a lot of different things. So the Dracula player is going to be leaving behind these trails. The players are trying to find Dracula's trail and then try and track him. Now, Dracula can get on the seas. If you look at the map, once you're to a sea, you can jump to a whole bunch of different ports. And so if you move up here to the North Sea, then you could jump over to this sea out to the Atlantic Ocean, or jump into the Irish Sea, and there's lots of places to go. So even if the players know that Dracula went to the North Sea, there's one, two, three, four, or three, Edinburgh, Amsterdam, and Hamburg. Manchester, you can't get there, there's no port. But there's three choices where he could have gone, and then he goes off from there. So the difficulty, though, for the Dracula player, when he's at sea, he can't use any special abilities. Time stops. So for the Dracula player, the clock's not going to advance when he's at sea. And it costs him life tokens, blood tokens, every time, every other turn at sea. So when Dracula runs out of blood tokens, he's dead and the game is over. And that's the player's goal. So if Dracula goes out to sea, it's really an escape route. He starts the game only with 15, and they go away fairly quickly. When he enters combat, the players will tear through them. He can get them back by going through the castle or playing some special cards. But so Dracula starts at 15 and works his way down, and if he ever runs out, the game is over and the players have won. When he goes out to sea, he immediately loses one, and then he loses one every other turn he's at sea until he comes back to land. So Dracula does not want to stay at sea for too long, but he may have to go there to escape a net of the players. If they're moving in on him, then he can jump out to the sea and run away. This is the timer of the game, and every turn at the start of the Dracula's turn, when he's not at sea, the timer moves. And so the bottom here is nighttime and Dracula is more powerful. Up here is daytime and the hunter's more powerful. Every time it goes around, the Dracula player gets to add one to their victory track. So the game at most is going to last six go-arounds of this. It's kind of the timer of the game and keeps things moving. So on the board, you can see different cities are connected by different types of routes. There are roads, which are the brown roads, the brown routes. And there are trains, which are the white or the yellow routes. And there's also by sea out here at the boats. Now, Dracula can never use the trains. He doesn't like this. So crowded. He has to go by road or he can go by sea, but he has to pay for it. The adventurers, on their turn, the heroes, can move one space. And that's what they're going to do. They'll move a space and then they'll have an encounter. If they move to a space for which the card is already out on the board, the Dracula player flips it up and they have that encounter. If they move into the space where Dracula is, then Dracula reveals himself and fights them. Otherwise, they will draw cards based upon the type of space they're on. So the players will move around. If they move into a space that's already got a location card on the board, i.e. Dracula's been there, then Dracula shows them the card and they encounter whatever is on the card, whatever they've found that Dracula's left behind. If they move on the space with Dracula, Dracula must reveal himself and immediately have a fight. Otherwise, they will get to have an encounter of their choice. Now, another way of moving around the board is by rail. And so rail movement can be faster. When you move by rail, however, you roll this dice. Roll the die, and it's going to have some various effects. A zero means the train's not leaving that turn, so you can either stay in that city or move to another. A one, you can move one. A two, you can move two. This one, you can move two anywhere on the board, but you can move three over here in the new part of Europe. In older Europe, you can only move two because the rails aren't quite upgraded. And then there's an X, which means you are detained and you don't get to do anything. The other way you can move is again through the seas. It takes a turn to move out onto the sea, and then a turn to move to another sea, and then a turn to move to a city. And so once you're at sea, you know, then you can move from sea to sea and kind of jump around the board quickly that way. It's nice for the hunters. Dracula, however, has a pretty big cost to pay moving around on the seas. So when you move to a city, you've got several choices, assuming there is no encounter. One thing you can do is you can trade. If you're in the same city with another hunter, you can trade items. Another option you can do is rest. When you rest, you will get two health back, but you have to take two of these cards. You don't get to keep the crosses when you're resting. Your benefit was getting the help. Any of the bats that you draw have to go to the Dracula player. So when you rest, you're getting some health back, but there's a chance you're going to help the Dracula player. The other option is to resupply. To resupply means you're going to use the city that you're on. Most of the cities are either small cities or large cities. In small cities, you have a choice of drawing one of the event cards, and you do get to keep the crosses. Remember, you're always drawing off the bottom of this deck, so you don't know whether it's going to be a cross or a bat. A large city, you can draw an event card and or draw an item card. So it's your choice. You don't have to take the event card if you don't want to, but again, they can be helpful to the players. The item cards are all sorts of things. Most of them are going to help you in combat. There's things like a heavenly host, which makes movement harder for Dracula, pistols, rifles, stakes, all sorts of nasty little things. The dogs! Release the hounds, which can be very handy. in combat. So the items help you get ready for fighting Dracula or help you to cause some problems to Dracula, and the events do all sorts of random things. At a sea zone, when you're in sea, you don't get to do anything. So you're basically just floating, and just Dracula's the same way, can't do anything at sea. Combat happens in the game in a couple of ways. Combat can happen when the player moves onto a space where Dracula is, or combat can happen when the player moves onto a space where a minion is. Now, the way it will work is the player and Dracula will each have a set of cards that they can use in the combat. These are the cards that Dracula will use if there's a minion involved, and the minion might have a knife, a pistol, or a rifle, and have the ability of punch and dodge. The players will also have these basic punch and dodge cards, but then the minions may be armed. Dracula, on the other hand, has a whole batch of cards. Now, what's interesting about the Dracula cards is he doesn't always have them all. Some of the cards have nighttime symbols, which means he has the option of using these cards if he's at night. Some of the cards have daytime symbols, which means he can use them at night or during the day. So if they find Dracula during the day, Dracula only has three things they can do: dodge, escape, or use their claws. At night, however, he can mesmerize, strength, fangs, escape, or a bat. So at night, Dracula's got many more choices. He's a stronger combatant and can escape more easily. During the day, it's harder to beat him. The players start with three basic cards: punch, escape, and dodge. They always have those three cards. But then, as they go through the game and they discover more items, they'll add to their choices. They could get a pistol, they could get a knife, they could get a steak. Ooh, I'd like my steak. Rare. They could get some holy water. So the players, as they get more and more items, can become stronger and have more surprises for Dracula. Now, the way combat works, each person in the combat collects all the possible combat cards they've acquired. So a player might have this big handful, except they are limited to the number of items they can have based upon their character. Most characters can only have three additional items. One character can have a fourth. The Dracula player will take the cards either for the minion or for the Dracula person, based upon whether it's day or night. And each person will then pick an action secretly. And so you might, the Dracula player might play claws, the hero might play stake. And then what you're going to do is you're going to look and see what happens. There's an initiative number and a die roll that comes into play. Each player rolls a die, and the person who rolls the highest die wins that round of the combat. If it is a tie, then the initiative comes to the play, and the person who has the highest initiative wins the combat. Now, there are a number of things that add into that. If the person's been bitten, if you've got cards, there are special event cards which can be played before the combat, which can make a difference. So there's a number of add-ons you've got to track. But the basic way it goes is each person picks a card, you play your cards, you roll the dice. If it's a tie, you compare initiatives, the higher initiative wins, and then you look to see which card was the winning card. So let's say that stake was the winning card. So we look here, and we look to see what the other card was. So Dracula player played claws, this player played stake. We see here at claws, it's got this symbol. We can look up on a table to see this symbol means that Dracula is killed. Now, when Dracula is killed, all that really happens is he drops down to the next red life bullet on his track. So if Dracula was at 12 and he got quote-unquote killed, he would drop down to 10. If he's already down here and he gets killed, then he is dead and the game is over. And then the combat continues. There are other types of things that can happen. There can be wounds that occur, 1 or 2 points of damage. There can be the combat ends with an escape. Or there can be that it's a stalemate, basically. What happens if you get this symbol, then there's a little disc that you'll put out. And if you get that symbol 3 times in a row, the combat ends in a stalemate, and you just stop. So that's how it goes. Now, the cards that you've played stay out on the board, and then you have to pick new cards for the next round. The result is that you can't play the same card twice in a row. So you make choices based upon what you have left. You show it, you roll the dice, and you see what happens. Anytime that there's something in dark, like here, holy water is in dark, sacred bullets are in dark, that means that that item is destroyed. So if someone tried to use holy water on vampire, then it's destroyed after it's used, which actually makes sense. Things like bullets and holy water tend to be destroyed fairly often. Assuming that the combat continues, the players leave the cards they just used. They have to pick a new card, and will choose which card they're going to play in the next round of combat. They'll play the cards. They'll each roll the dice to see which card is the winning card, again, comparing the numbers at the top if there's a tie. And then you'll look at the card to see what the impact is and apply it. So that's the way the combat goes. It takes a while to understand. There are so many cards involved with combat that you really don't have a good idea of what's going to be good against what until you get in. There are some internet aids that can help you understand that. But, you know, the best thing to do is to just jump in. In general, if it's during the day, the players are going to have a very strong advantage. The Dracula player is going to have a difficult time during the day. And at night, the Dracula player is a little stronger, but still is going to have a difficult time. The Dracula player has some special abilities they can use as well, and again, this depends upon the time. Feed and wolf form have night symbols, so they can only be used at night. The other ones can be used during the day or during the night. Some of them the players will know they're being used, and other ones they won't. For example, the hide ability. You put the hide card down, and it looks just like a location card. And so the players, you put an encounter on the back, so the players don't know that you have not moved from the location that you're in. But again, once that's on the track, you don't have it. So you've got a double back card. Now this one you put out with a location, that you pull that location from somewhere that's already out. It lets you move back to a place you've already been. But again, once it's out there, you can't use it. Wolf form, again, the players know you've turned into wolf form. It costs you some blood to use, but you get to move twice rather than just one step. Feed, again, players know you feed, but it does require you to be at night and you get a blood back. And Dark Call costs you 2 blood, but then you get to draw a whole bunch of those little encounter chits and discard down to your normal hand size. The advantage of that is Dracula really wants to find those new brides, the new vampires, and so wants to dig through their pile to find them. There are some other cards in the game, the Heavenly Host and the Consecrated Ground, which will allow a player to make a location such that Dracula player can't move there. And allow them to automatically destroy encounters in those areas. They're very strong little tokens. There is also the players do get special abilities. Every time you have a full year go around, there's a counter that goes on the resolve track that goes up. And the players can use the resolve for a number of things. They can see more information about the track. They can move around on the board very quickly, but they lose health. Or they can heal. But once you've used that, it's gone. So these go away fairly quickly. They're very nice. Couple special spaces on the board. Castle Dracula is good for the Dracula player, allows them to heal, and allows them to be stronger in combat. St. Joseph and St. Mary is good for the players, and Dracula can never enter there, and allows someone to resupply or to deal with bites if the players have been bitten. So, the basic flow of the game, the Dracula player is going to go first. They're going to play one of those locations on the board, put an encounter on it. The players will go, they'll move publicly on the board. Dracula will tell them if they've hit something. If they have not hit something, then they can draw cards based upon the space they're on. The players can work together to try and trap Dracula. They're generally stronger than Dracula. They're much stronger during the day, but even at night they can hold their own. So the Dracula player needs to run and leave behind traps and try and be sneaky to survive. The players are not allowed to go off and make plans. Anything they say can be heard by the ears in the walls. So, what do I think about this game? Well, it's an okay game. The feeling of it is nice, like a lot of Fantasy Flight games recently. They've got a good feel to them. One of the problems with the game is that you have this mental idea of Dracula coming out at night and killing people off. But in reality, Dracula is fairly weak in this game compared to the hunters. The best way for Dracula to win the game is to just avoid conflict, that you spend your time just running. If you get into a fight, as soon as you can, you run. And you just keep running and running, and the hunters are just plodding pace by pace and trying to kill you. There's a number of cards in the game that reveal a lot of Dracula's path. So, unlike games like Scotland Yard, where the path is hidden for much of the time, in this game, the path is revealed quite a bit. Many times the hunters have a good general idea of where Dracula is. It's just taking the time to move to him, turn after turn, while the clock ticks down. So, while the game is entertaining, it's not what you would think. You don't have this day-night cycle where Dracula becomes really, really powerful at night. Instead, Dracula can just run away more effectively at night and gets a little bit more powerful. But it was fairly frustrating, you could see, for Dracula to not be able to do much damage in combat. And that's what he did do was healed up fairly quickly. So I give the game a B. It's got a lot of flavor. If you like that flavor of Dracula, you like the concept, It might be a fun game for you. I've heard online someone actually said it should have been called, you know, Fury of Buffy, because it's more like the vampire in this game is more like all the vampires in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where the heroes were great and mighty and the vampires were evil and dusty. So anyway, thank you very much. If you'd like to talk about this game or learn more about it or find where to purchase it, head over to BoardGamesWithScott.com. There you'll find more of these video shows. You'll also find an audio-only version of the shows if you'd prefer to listen to these things while you drive. With that, I'll thank you for coming and wish you a very good night.
Board Games with Scott is under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Scott can be reached at scott@scottnicholson.com.